It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
You've seen it. If you really know your wife, if you really know your husband, there was one that said, how well do you know your husband? What's his handicap? So I sent it to my wife, and her answer was 4. Wow. That's what I said.
Jeremy White.
But here's the thing. I ended up with a win either way. She guessed I'm a 4. I am not a 4. But she said, I Googled what's a good golfer's handicap, which means she thinks I'm a good golfer. So I'll take that win.
And Joe DiBiase.
But now she knows that she's wrong.
Well, she doesn't have
from
the right.
From her Google search standard, you now have to tell her that I am actually indeed not a good golfer.
I'm not a 4.
She knew what the range of numbers is in the first place, like what it means. Like, she would know a low number is better than a high number for this.
That's a good question. She just Googled, what's a good golfer's handicap? And then
she said, that's got to be the number.
4.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Fortunately for Jeremy, he has a trophy now from golf. He doesn't need the handicap.
Not just Jeremy.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jeremy's out today. Insert another golfer with hardware.
The seat of winners right here.
Maybe I should sit there. Maybe you should sit there.
It doesn't rub off.
I'm out of tournaments. I'm out of tournaments this year anyway.
It doesn't rub off.
I got nothing left. Nothing left to go win. Nate Geary's in for Jeremy today. We got a little Gabe Davis fest maybe because he's in town, we think, today visiting with the Bills. We got a lot to get to. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off. Hard Knocks last night. Do we have to start, though, with – I think Owen is ready to go off on something Nate brought up before we got in here that is a food-related question about ordering the same thing over and over in, like, days in a row?
Yeah, it's like...
So what is this now? You have ordered the same meal 4 days in a row for lunch at the same the same place?
Yeah, not only the same place, but like the same location. It's a chain, but
same location.
The same location.
And you're just gone every day to get the... And like a minute before we go on there, it's like, I might do it again today.
It's not really at this point a might thing. It's just...
You're going to do it again today.
Yeah.
Owen, have you ever done this? Even 2 days in a row? Like,
definitely.
The thing I had yesterday was so good. I'm going to do the exact same thing.
And then you just find yourself in a cycle of...
You're fixated and then it's over. And you can't even...
There's nothing you can do about it. You're a drug addict at that point. It's over for you.
Yeah. You said that and you couldn't hear me, but I think I might have shook the walls in here with...
We tested how soundproof that room really was.
Really. I mean, my arms were in the air. I was celebrating like I had just, I don't even know. It was incredible. Those sandwiches rock.
Yeah.
And it's unavoidable. And I fight with people all the time about
steak
it.
Sandwiches?
Steak sandwiches.
Four days. This is going to be 4 days in a row. You're already at
today
4 days
Today will be five.
Today will be five.
Yeah.
Just make it a week, Nate.
5 days in a row. That can't possibly be good for you.
Oh, it's
no. It's better than getting a cheeseburger 5 straight days.
This is almost that.
Kinda.
Is it? As long as you're not getting fries, maybe it's close.
Yeah, maybe.
I haven't gotten the cookies every day.
Okay. Well, not every day. How many of the 4 days then have you gotten? Three?
Half
of them.
Yeah, right down the middle.
See,
that's perfect.
This is becoming almost like a modern version of the Super Size Me challenge where he's just like, I just want to see what happens.
Should we do a calorie
count? Just want to see what happens. If I just eat steak subs every day for a month, what happens?
Should we do a calorie count?
I mean, hey, you said it's better than eating a cheeseburger.
Yeah, but we could. I do get a giant, and I eat the giant every time.
You can't not get the giant.
Owen's like bulldog. I had this conversation. Him splitting up a sub that gets cut into fours for multiple days. You can't do that with a hot steak sub, frankly.
Oh, he will.
Really?
Can I ask how does he do it? Does he eat it cold?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
okay.
You guys, I know you guys have known my dad a long time.
Yeah.
He's my dad. He is a freak.
That's like, I get it if you have an Italian sub with a bunch of cold Italian meats.
Josh, make sure you clip that.
But like, you can't, like, when there's oil on a sub, you can't.
Oh.
Have it for multiple days.
The
integrity of this.
This is not just subs. This is anything
edible. I don't even eat leftovers.
all he eats is leftovers.
When I that's not totally true. Like leftovers that I'm like designed to like feed me for a couple of days, like meal prepping.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily consider that leftovers, but it's kind of leftovers. When I'm out at restaurants and I don't finish my meal, I do ask for a box because it feels impolite to leave food.
If you
I don't eat it.
You know what? This is a good point that I actually thought about recently is I don't want to take these leftovers home. I'm not going to eat this.
There's an obligation.
But there's enough left on my plate where if I say no to the box, then I feel like I am insulting the restaurant.
The chef's going to come out and spit on
you. Hey, this was so gross. Not only am I only eating half of it, I don't even want to take it home.
Right. I can't even
That's how bad it was.
Give you the satisfaction of I'll take this home and throw it out there.
But I'm not even saying it was bad. I just might not want it the next day. Like there are certain things I don't like as leftovers. I don't like anything like I don't like pasta. Like sauce or like penne the next day. Like no, I don't really want
a steak the next day. Unless I've got grand plans, unless there's enough that I could be like, steak and eggs.
Yep.
But then that has to be a Sunday. It's a very specific scenario that has to play out for me to use leftover beef.
100%.
It's got to be Saturday night. I got to have no plans the next day. I got to have eggs already. Like right away, that is
a chore.
That's 2 weekends of the year that's happening.
Yeah. I think air fryers have changed the game with this, though.
I was just going to say that.
Like you used to take home chicken wings, and you're like, how am I going to heat these up? Then you throw them in an air fryer, and it's like they're brand new.
Definitely do not bring home
with your leftover steak sub, I think I would be throwing that in the air fryer.
Can I just, 100%. Let me just say something? There's definitely no leftover of that sub, just so we're clear. The Giant's getting taken down.
And the Giant, it is, in fact, Giant. It's a big sub.
Do you want the calorie? I got the calorie count.
Let's send it.
Gosh.
This says, on average,
oh, this is gonna be
1,189 calories.
Oh, that's not
as bad as I thought it was
going to
be.
Right, because I'm going to eat breakfast this morning, and then I don't really eat for the rest of the day, and then I eat dinner.
Okay. You're still eating 3 meals a day, though. Are you eating like a true breakfast? You're eating like something little.
Yeah, I mean, today
anything usually before like 11 a.m.
I'm kind of eating a true breakfast today because I woke up and I was hangry.
I thought he was about to give us something in the 2000s.
I was ready for a 2,500 bomb.
Yeah. I feel just like, vindicated.
You're going to die tomorrow.
I feel vindicated. I'm probably going to get it for a couple more days.
I might go get it today now.
Like when I discovered how many calories are in a like a Bloomin' Onion for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's like 3,000.
What?
It's like the most unhealthy thing you could ever order anywhere. Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. So I guess it's not that high. So
I'm feeling good. I've actually never felt better.
Well, Nate's gonna be living off the high of another steak sub on the way later today for the entire
show. It's getting
today.
Me through. Yeah,
that, you got no idea the power that wields, guys.
They may never know.
It's up to them.
I feel like you got to have the kind of ADHD where like you do things on repeat. Like if I like a new album, I'll just listen to that new album for 4 months.
Okay,
nonstop.
Yep,
4 months. Sure.
Sometimes more.
Okay. This is all crazy.
Like when Bulldog introduced me to the war on drugs, that was a 9-month.
Yeah.
It's all I listened to.
100%.
So.
Yeah. We got Quad Box for this for this conversation, by the way. So good. Welcome into the morning with the Quad Box and also the bullpen going off about this. Wanting to revoke my Italian card because I don't like leftover pasta. Excuse me, that means I have a high standard for pasta and sauce, which makes me even more Italian.
Yeah, that seems...
Yeah, I don't know a true Italian that would bring home leftovers and then microwave it.
Oh, no.
I'm pretty sure that is sacrilegious. Ugh.
See, that would be another thing I'd want to try to throw in the air fryer, but how am I going to put pasta in the air fryer?
You're not putting pasta in the air fryer.
It would, like, bake it. It'd almost become like a...
But that could be good. It would be true. Such
you're
a mess
not,
after, like,
do that.
Yeah, just
that
would
be adult. They make those little, like, paper boats that you can put in them.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, air fryer liners.
All you got to do is disaster, that. Though. The Bulldog move is zap it in the microwave for 8.5 minutes and just...
On medium heat?
No, just as hot. He was... I should wear a video camera on me one day.
We should document some of this.
Bring you guys around.
This psycho behavior.
I think we need a new recurring segment on the show, which is Owen tells us things about Bulldog we didn't know already.
Yeah.
I think this is a great potential.
It has a lot of potential.
Yeah. So to the Bills, did we watch Hard Knocks last night? So episode 3.
Yeah.
Did you agree with everybody that
it was the best one?
That it was the best one? Because I saw a lot of that on social media after that. Hey, this was the best one. This was the best. It was they told a story throughout it. You got a scene in Brandon Bean's office.
Yeah.
While they didn't give a lot in that, it was the first time like, oh, we're going into Bean's office. Because I know they don't have cameras in McDermott's office, so they're not going to do that. And you got a little bit of reaction there to the Cook thing. So maybe a little bit more happened in
this third
episode.
Yeah, there's been way less Bean than there was Shane.
Oh, well, the Shane thing was an off-season Hard Knock. So I think that was
true.
That was on purpose, I think. Like, the whole thing was about building the team for the Giants. This is the training camp one. So I guess that does make sense. So the Cook scenes of him signing and coming in and the Joe Brady and Bean talking about, like, oh, did he smile? Like, No. Like, do you think he comes off as the good, not the good guy. I just wonder how he comes off the Bills fans after all of this. Because I think he's a different type of character. Like,
yes.
He is not in your face. He's kind of, what's the joke about Matt Milano? That Matt Milano's never said a word before, although we did hear him talk in the Hard Knocks yesterday. I feel like that's kind of Cook, in a way. He's kind of mellow, right? He's kind of, you know, he's not really in your face. He's not really that, you know, a loud talker. He doesn't show a lot of emotion. But when he's on the field, you start to see that, I think, a little bit more. So I thought Cook came off pretty good in the whole thing. I thought they didn't really spend as much time on it as I thought they would. And then they get to Chicago, which is just a beatdown. A beat 38-0 beatdown that was in the episode. After Sunday's preseason game, we haven't spoken since then. You were on with Chopin. We were on with Bulldog, though. Did you consider that a big deal? That they got smoked like that on Sunday?
No, I guess not really the outcome. Probably the overall outcome.
No? But like individual things?
Piled on to what I think it was Derek and Zach talking about this in pregame when I was coming in to do halftime and postgame. And it was essentially along the lines of, I just want to see Cole Bishop make a play, like a pass breakup. A tackle for loss, something that could just say, okay, we're good. Mm-hmm. And since the coaches fanned the flames of it.
That's what happened yesterday. And I thought it was interesting to hear McDermott say what he said about the safety position and not really give anything to Cole Bishop. I mean, saying yesterday that we are looking for the guy to play next to Taylor Rapp.
The problem is they acted all offseason as if they were giving him this job.
Mm-hmm.
So by reneging a little, which is kind of what they're doing, I think it brings a larger question to the forefront, which was, why didn't you do more to insulate that room in the offseason?
Right. Well, again, that would go as a criticism on Bean, I think, because at the moment, the coach doesn't. But, like, if the plan was,
you know what?
It's going
Let
to be
me
Bishop,
tell you this.
Second round pick.
I don't think it's on Bean, because he cares about safeties. He was a safety.
McDermott was.
If he felt he needed a safety, there'd be a safety in that room.
Mm-hmm.
But they brought back Damar Hamlin, who everybody universally agreed they needed to upgrade from.
Mm-hmm.
They agreed they needed to upgrade from, and then they brought in Derek Forrest, who's, I mean, an afterthought's not a strong enough word for what he's been.
No,
I mean,
I don't even know if he makes the team.
Make the team. He's not going to make the practice squad. I don't even know what number he is. I went to practice multiple times. You were at practice. Do you know what number he is?
I can't tell you for sure
now
what his number
like,
is.
I think a little of it says, have I even seen him on the field in the fourth quarter of games? I don't think I have. Is he hurt? Don't know. So the guy that was like, oh, he's interesting. He started a couple games in Washington. Maybe he'll be a core special teamer and push Damar Hamlin. Nonsense. I mean, just completely irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm sitting here saying, I was like, okay, well, maybe it's on Bean. Maybe he's got the roster construction. But you know what? If Sean McDermott and Bobby Babbage thought, man, we just don't know what we have with him yet. We better just make sure we have someone like Justin Simmons. Maybe not Justin Simmons, but someone like him here in case of break glass, in case of emergency. And, oh, by the way, our other starting safety, that is definitely the starting safety, misses multiple games a year because he flies around like a jackknife on the field. I mean, they just, they're, to look at it now, it's sort of like on August 20th hosting Gabe Davis and trying to tell us that the wide receiver room's completely fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, the, to me, safety and wide receiver probably should get talked about more together as positions that I'm just, if the first two moves this head coach made when he became a first-time head coach was to secure the safety positions, don't tell me this is a Brandon Bean thing, because if he really thought he needed one, he'd have one.
Maybe. He might. I do wonder about that, because does the dynamic between them, and I'm sure it's collaborative and they both would have trusted Bishop in that. Bishop, though, is like Bean's drafting, right? And that's a second round pick, and it would be another defensive back where the coach would get in the weeds with him and like, let me get under the hood and see what I got here. And this would be Kyrie Elam would be the first instance of this. And it's just, ooh, I don't know if I can trust this. And this might be different because it's more of injury, right? It's him getting reps and getting experience on the field and that position, maybe in this defense, taking a little bit longer to get accustomed to. So there's that difference too. But it would be two players that I'm not putting on the field if I can't trust them. And you drafted them.
Yeah.
And you drafted them high, and I got to put, you know, maybe the fifth-round rookie in there. I mean, Jordan Hancock is injured, but his name has been mentioned the last couple of days as a name that maybe could throw his hat in the ring at some point. Maybe if it's not right at the beginning of the year, it's in the middle of the year, or maybe it is the beginning of the year. And what would that be? Like, I got to go to a fifth-round rookie? Because
it feels like
I don't have options at this position right now.
A little of it feels like Benford all over again. You kind of getting bailed out by a late draft pick.
Which,
listen, I would be ecstatic if Jordan Hancock ends up being a starting caliber level safety in the league.
I will say, though, doesn't in the fans' minds and most people's that the late round pick coming in and starting and becoming a good player, doesn't the coach get more credit for that? Like, if the first-round pick comes right in and he's awesome right away, the GM's getting credit for that 100% of the time because you nailed the pick. But, like, Benford, who gets credit for Benford? Because on the Bean front, it's, well, you drafted a six-round pick out of Villanova.
Benford was better than Elam right away.
He was, but does McDermott get credit for that?
I don't think so.
He developed a six-round pick into this. You know what I mean?
I still think Bean gets credit for finding the player.
Okay. I'm not sure it matters either one way or the other, because they're sitting here without a player that's worthy of a starting safety spot.
It should be harder to find a guy in the fifth round than the first round, just so we're clear.
It should be. I think the other difference between wide receiver and safety right now for that, you mentioned Gabe Davis is in, and Jerry Dulac from Pittsburgh reporting on Davis being visiting there says that he thinks Davis is visiting with the Bills today. So he might be in town right now, honestly. Yeah. The difference to me is, right now, the concern on those two positions, safety, it is who's on the field all the time is the question. And that's important. That's a starter. That is a guy that is important to the structure of the defense that you just don't even know who that guy is at all. Wide receiver, at the moment, I do think it's probably more to do with what is going on after the top three guys.
Agreed.
Because the top three guys in Shakir, Coleman, and Palmer, that's entrenched, and I don't think there's anything, there's no negative feelings about any of those three right now other than just Shakir is dealing with the injury, right?
Yep.
But it's, oh man, Samuel can't get on the field, and Elijah Moore is dropping passes in the preseason, and do we really trust Tyrell Shavers to be on the active roster? And like, I think that's interesting, and I think you'd want to have guys you can count on as the 4, 5, and 6 in a receiver core because those guys play. Those guys play some. But it is 4, 5, and 6 for that position. It's the number one safety.
Yeah.
that they're trying to figure out. I'm reminded also of a time 2 years ago after Tremaine Edmonds left, and the middle linebacker battle in training camp was not going well at all.
No, it wasn't.
It was going very poorly, and I actually looked up, there was a McDermott quote from that training camp that was very similar. It was about Bernard and about the whole position. Very similar to what we heard yesterday, where he called middle linebacker near the end of training camp. Bernard, kind of like Bishop, remember he had missed all of camp.
All of the camp because the hamstring.
He had a hamstring injury, missed all camp, didn't play in the preseason. And McDermott, nearing the end of camp, said about middle linebacker, quote, "That's an area of concern right now. Are we where we need to be right now? I don't think so." He said that 2 years ago. And what did they do? Without any of the reps, they just decided they're just going to throw Bernard in there.
And he was fantastic.
Second year guy, hadn't played a lot in year one, was dealing with an injury. Like, you know, we could put a vet in like Tyrell Dodson and see if we could get by. Let's put the kid in. And they did. And I want to predict they just end up doing the same thing with Cole Bishop. That I don't know if it'll go well. I don't know how good he'll be. I mean, if he could be as good as what he does, as what Terrell Bernard is at middle linebacker, that's a home run. But I want to think that any of this messaging is like that's a sign, that's a message to Cole Bishop. Like, hey, dude, get your act together because we need you to play, and I think it ends up resulting in him playing one way or another to see what they got, especially when there isn't a strong alternative. I think Bishop plays.
Definitely not a strong alternative, but I don't like the idea. They don't.
Unless they want to go get an alternative.
At this point in the game, I just think it's...
It's just Simmons, right?
That's it.
Justin Simmons, who
Marcus
played
Williams
last year in
is
Atlanta.
Available, but he's coming off of an Achilles.
Yeah, Jordan Whitehead is out there and visiting with teams.
Yeah.
He's a guy who, is he the guy who picked Allen three times?
I believe so.
In the Jet game, or two times a couple years ago? So there are guys, but nobody that is,
I think there's a real chance they make a trade between now and the start of the season for somebody. It probably isn't going to be a big name, but somebody that they like that's on another roster that's a third safety somewhere else.
Or replace Derek Forrest as a concept?
Sure. God.
Unless they really like the rookie. Unless they really like Jordan Hancock.
They could like Jordan Hancock. I think you could feel good if you... Listen, I wonder this. I was really interested when the first unofficial depth chart came out before the first preseason game and Cam Lewis was listed as a safety and Jordan Hancock was listed as a nickelback. Until that's changed, until Jordan Hancock's listed as safety, I'm not going to really give that a lot of credence that he's actually going to get a look there.
Well, he's talked about a transition. And that would imply that he's doing more at practice at safety.
If they're serious about it, I'll believe it when he's listed as a safety on the depth chart.
Well, I think that's probably coming. He did play way more at nickelback in college. So
yes,
him playing safety would be fairly new to him, but I think you'll see that. I think you'll see him get listed there. 803-0550 is the phone number. What's your concern level at safety? What's your concern level at wide receiver? I got a Gabe Davis question to get to because I don't know if people know this about Gabe Davis, but he is he's the king of content in that he, not just for us, but like I had a group chat yesterday that the second it became known that Davis was going to visit today with the Bills, that group chat devolved into like just back and forth screaming match about Gabe Davis's career with the Bills. Very polarizing player to look back on, and now he might be back. He is reportedly visiting with the team today. How would it fit? It's not impossible for me to see how it would fit. It's just a little bit tricky. So get to some of that on Davis when we come back. Got Sal coming up at 7. We'll talk about practice yesterday, injury updates, Davis as well. Got TJ Reeves coming up at 8:30. We'll talk a little bit about the Bucks. 14 teams in 14 days continues with Tampa tomorrow. And we will take your calls. Leftovers, too, if you want to get
leftovers.
It on leftovers.
No,
and,
sir.
And steak subs and eating the same thing day after day after day. How long is that streak going to go, you think? Is today going to be the last day? No end in sight?
Listen, I'd hate to put a cap on something that's so special to me. You know,
it's ridiculous.
And now that I've got a fan in this that I've got to support. Like, he's like my sponsor now. He's like my steak sub sponsor. I'm going to call him later. Is this a good idea? And I was going to be like, yup, yes, it is.
I misjudged Owen. I thought when he was freaking out before the show about it, he thought that you were an animal.
No, I could tell right away. We locked eyes. I was like, this guy's a connoisseur. Yeah.
He's into it. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off for the rest of the week. Nate's in, and this is WGR.
I think we're looking for that other safety to play alongside of T-Rap. There's been really good moments for all those guys back there, Young and some of the more veteran guys that are back there that have played for us. But I think we're still looking to find who is it going to be and how consistent can they become and how quickly can they grow if they're a younger player. And you're always looking to figure that other piece out. Right now for us, we know who T-Rap is. We know what he brings to the table. It's what other piece can go along with T-Rap.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott on the safety position, and I think that was mostly about Cole Bishop there, even saying the words about a young player, how fast can they develop, how fast can they come along. So McDermott on the safety position, which right now, up in the air a little bit, I still think it's very, very likely that Cole Bishop is going to be out there week one against the Baltimore Ravens. I guess that doesn't have to be true, though. DeMar Hamlin, they trust, of course, and he's gotten some first-team reps throughout camp and the preseason as well. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. Nate is in. 803-0550 is the phone number. So Gabe Davis is reportedly visiting with the team today. Yesterday when the news came out, Jeremy very unhappy about it. Not a Gabe Davis guy at this point, which I don't know how many there are. I think it's tough to figure out sometimes what his reputation is amongst Bills fans. I think some Bills fans think he is the most overrated player ever, and I think some Bills fans think he is the most underrated player ever. And they will clash in group chats for the rest of time. Does it fit? Is this a good idea at all to bring him back? The one thing about anybody that signs Davis, because of the language in his contract with the Jaguars, however that works, he is getting all that money paid by Jacksonville. So any team that gets him is going to get him for the vet minimum. Like, he has no incentive to sign for anything more.
Yep.
So if you get him, you're getting him for the vet minimum. But who is he displacing? Is he playing meaningful snaps? Is he inactive?
Is he even really healthy is my question.
Is he healthy is another part of it.
Yeah.
The fact that they're having him in on a visit, though, I think means they want to know the answer to that question. Is he healthy?
Yeah.
From a jumping off point. And I said this yesterday, but it's not my favorite idea at all. I personally would rather they go with, you know, even Shavers at the bottom end of the depth chart or Elijah Moore and Samuel keep their roster spots and you see that out and see if you can get anything out of those two in the regular season. The reason, though, that I wouldn't be stunned if the Bills actually did sign Davis is I've continued to think all throughout camp, this is part of why I thought there was an opportunity for Shavers to make the team, is they don't, in my mind, have a plan B to Keon Coleman at the big X receiver position that was last year split between Coleman and Mac Hollins,
mm-hmm.
doing the dirty work at receiver, blocking at receiver, clear out routes down the field. Like, Coleman did a lot of that last year, but so did Mac Hollins. And if you do believe that
they miss Mac Hollins,
that they wanted to keep him,
yeah,
and he's just a football nomad that wants to go place to place to place, and he went to New England for maybe more money. If you believe that they wanted to keep Mac Hollins, but Bean said you have to ask Mac, right, after free agency happened, then do they have a guy like Mac Hollins in their receiver room behind Keon Coleman? Insurance in case, hey, either Coleman gets hurt or, you know, this isn't really going well. Him playing the X. All those people out there that think that Coleman is more in line to be a big slot in the NFL, like, oh, that's kind of looking more like reality. That he should be a guy we move around more, and he's not as, you know, well-suited to play this spot. He kind of has to, though. Who else does it?
Yeah.
And maybe your answer, if he was on the roster, would be, well, Gabe Davis does it. Gabe Davis does the dirty work. Gabe Davis plays the X. Gabe Davis blocks for me in the run game at the receiver position. That he is your Coleman plan B. When I don't know that they currently have one, is Palmer going to do all that stuff? He's not really the body type and the type of player I would think is in line for that. Elijah Moore certainly isn't. I think I would get to Shavers. So yep. I don't think I would be stunned if they signed Davis.
I think if you're asking me on a one-to-one swap, Gabe Davis in the exact role Matt Collins had, I would say that in almost every way, Gabe Davis is probably a better wide receiver. The only difference is that Matt Collins was a core special teams contributor.
He was.
And Gabe Davis is not going to do that.
He didn't even do that as a rookie. I looked that up yesterday.
So that's my only hesitation, because the coach has said as much, like, if you're the fourth or fifth wide receiver on this team, you're going to probably need to play special teams.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're I assume you have to keep Curtis Samuel. Short of somebody wants him and you can trade him for a seventh.
And who's going to want him?
I don't know.
Right now, I don't see
at that,
him,
if that
see
money.
Being likely.
So, like, it seems like you have to keep him. So does that mean that Elijah Moore is the odd man out? It might be. And if you're telling me then you have Curtis Samuel as your number four receiver, he doesn't play special teams. Well, now Gabe Davis is my number five receiver. He also doesn't play special teams. Mm-hmm. Are we keeping six receivers?
None of which play special teams.
None of which play special teams. And none of which, and then we still haven't even talked about, okay, well, then where's the kick returner coming from?
Right, which LaVisca Chenault has gotten a lot of run at that.
Yep.
There's Codrington, who they might just throw back
KJ
there.
KJ Hamler.
KJ, that's another receiver that, I guess that would be a receiver playing special teams. Yeah, it's tricky to figure out. You almost really, to make it all fit in easier, you would want to have a player that's not a receiver do all that special team stuff. Like, who's going to be the gunner? Oftentimes I have one receiver, or on kickoff I've got a receiver, or on wherever. And I've got an extra corner that's going to do that. Or I've got an extra safety that's going to do all that. Hey, maybe Derek Forrest's path to making the roster. You're going to do all the special team stuff that Matt Collins used to do. But I don't know that they have the numbers for that, or they have a guy that's ready to jump right in and do it. You're right, though. Like, the idea of Davis coming in and being what Matt Collins was as a contributor on special teams, that probably seems unlikely. I mean, he could probably find a team, like maybe the team he visited yesterday in Pittsburgh, that wouldn't ask him to do that. He's played 70 special team snaps in his career, and 65 of them were in the first two seasons for Davis. 7% in his rookie year and 8% in his second year. That's nothing. Nothing for him. 803-0550 is the phone number. On Davis coming back, potentially, he's on a visit today, seemingly, and whether it's a good idea or it's a terrible idea, let's go to CJ in Buffalo first up. What's up, CJ?
Hey, good morning, guys. I believe that Gabe Davis will be a great comeback for the team, because you know exactly what you're getting. It's not like you're walking into this and I don't know exactly what to expect, or our offensive coordinator has to build a rapport with him, and our quarterback got to figure out how to utilize him or get him the ball quickly and things. We don't have any of that we have to guess about. We know exactly what we're getting. We don't have to pay him. Like, it's a win for the Bills. Yes, you want to talk about the special teams, but I wouldn't talk about the special team players. I would talk about the special team rules and how close you start to the 50-yard line. What is it, 30, 35-yard line?
Yep.
It's like, yes, we want certain things, but at the same time, you can manipulate the game and get what you want. You know exactly what kind of deep threat he is. He may open it up for a Kincaid or Dawson Knox like he did in the past, because you know he's a deep threat. Ask the Steelers from in our own back line, in our own end zone, he threw a touchdown. He's deceptively fast, and we need things like that. So was Matt Collins. He was our deep threat last year, which was crazy. That blows my mind. But we need that in our offense, especially he's coming to an offense where Josh Allen actually has an offensive line now. He didn't have that the last time we had Gabe Davis, not to this extent, at least. I think it changes a lot on top of the run game. I think Gabe Davis, with his blocking, play action works a lot. There's a lot of positives to bringing Gabe Davis back that outweighs the negatives. Like, I understand some people may not, but we didn't want him to go because he was a bad receiver. We just didn't want to pay him that second large contract or his second contract and be a large one. That's the only reason I can think of actually not wanting him here. Other than that, like, nobody was really trying to kick Gabe Davis out the door. We may want more from him, but he showed up in a playoff game where Diggs did not. Those are just positives that I'm looking at.
Yeah, thanks, CJ, for the call. The one thing, though, I would really wonder and maybe even bet against is that, hey, deceptively fast, all those plays down the field that he made for the Bills over the years, as a guy that really wasn't, like, a burner, I think that probably doesn't age great. If the foot speed already isn't that great, as he gets older, and he's not really that old, he's only 26, which is kind of amazing, but he's had a couple of injuries, and even a small, marginal decrease in speed for a guy like that that is not a burner and it lives off downfield routes, I think that can be a death sentence to a player
like
that.
He was kind of the jump ball guy that's not really that good at jump balls, to be honest.
That too.
That's what they've got Keon Coleman for. By the way, they also had basically the exact same offensive line in 2023. They just had Mitch Morse at center and Ryan and Connor McGovern at guard instead of center.
That's true.
Clear. I mean, it's basically the exact same offensive line.
Yeah. He did show up in a playoff game.
He did show up in a playoff game. Hurt him and how he was projected for the rest of his career.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely right. That's definitely right. I mean, the expectation of it, it still will go down in history as one of the greatest performances in a Bills playoff game ever. So it is legendary in that sense. I want to get to more on the contract part of it and how it ended because, like, nobody wanted to kick him out the door. Well, listen, when you know what his market is going to be, that's the same thing. You know what he's going to cost. You know what he's going to come close to costing. And the Bills, I thought rightfully so, didn't value him the way that the Jaguars did at that time, which was, I still think, a crazy number to pay a guy like that. 803-0550 is the phone number. On Davis potentially returning, how it fits in with the receivers, we get some more safety stuff. We got a caller on that when we come back as well. Sal's coming up at 7. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary, here on a Wednesday morning here on WGR. Get ready for the inaugural Back Tee Golf Classic, Monday, September 29th at Gowanda Country Club. Full day of golf, community giving back with a car giveaway on a par 3 hole-in-1, a $10,000 cash prize, putting contests, raffles, silent auctions, plenty more. It's coming up on September 29th. All proceeds will go to the Spina Bifida Clinic at Oshai Children's Hospital. Spots are limited, so register now. BackTGolfClassic.com to help make a difference. And let's go to the phone lines. 803-0550. Got to get to the Colts, what they decided to do yesterday, which I think is ridiculous. But on the Bills, Justin and Oniata is next. What's up, Justin?
Good morning, guys. First, I just want to say I don't think Gabe Davis will be a good fit. He got a lot of his work because Steph Diggs attracted a lot of attention. So with him gone, I don't like it. But I really wanted to talk about safety. Mm-hmm. I think we could kind of do the Kyle Hamilton, and if Trey doesn't seem to be doing as well as corner speed-wise, move him back to safety along wrap. He still knows the defense, and I think that would just kind of like, one, save like a roster spot, but it's also someone that already knows the system and would probably save us doing a lot of extra headache.
This would be for who?
To come? So move Trey White to safety.
To safety. I would imagine that we're past the point of having that even be a consideration if it ever could be in the first place. Listen, some guys do it. It happens. Corners moving to safety does happen in the NFL. Generally, it's more late in guys' careers, although like Aaron Williams did do it at one point for the Bills. But Trey White doing it now on August 20th when the other corner, Hairston, is injured – No, I don't think so.
It just feels like this is where I was going earlier with it's not good that this is the conversations we're having about their safety.
No, it isn't.
It's not good.
You know what's funny? I did, Justin, having that thought, I don't think it's wrong to be like, let me try to get creative and think about like the ways they could do this. I just think it doesn't make sense time-wise. The guy, I did think a couple days ago, Because when he first got here, it was mentioned by either him or maybe somebody who had covered him before of this guy thinks he could play safety late in his career to make his career last. And that was Rasul Douglas. He's not done it, though. And again, if you were going to have him do it, I think you would have wanted to start that process months ago.
Yeah.
But I do remember it being said that Douglas could extend his career and that like his skill set was one. Like, he's a ball hawk.
Yep.
He's a bigger corner. He's lengthier, so he has the size to play safety. That Douglas could be a guy that could play safety. But I think it's too late at the moment. Although he is available.
Douglas.
Want to call him and say,
you want to play safety?
You want to give it a shot? You want to try it?
He's got to be a new number now, though. I think that throws off the vibes.
Why? Who's got 31? Or you just wouldn't give it to him as a safety?
No. Harrison.
Harrison is 31, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just bad with numbers.
Or he hasn't really been out there again, really.
Derek Forrest, 28, by the way. You asked earlier.
I did. Good.
You're right. I haven't seen him on the
not once
on the field.
Not once.
803-0550 is the phone number. Sal coming up next. On the Davis visit, on the safety room, McDermott's comments, practice yesterday. All coming up. Sal Capaccio joins the show after this here on WGR.